Well, thank you so much. That's a tough act to follow, I'm going to say. I want to say, first of all, that we are super proud of all of you men for the boldness that you've taken to go through that program. I wish we could hear everyone's testimony because you guys have some really powerful testimonies. We want to say thank you to Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, and we're going to pass around some offering plates. And if you would like to make a donation to support Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, we would invite you to do that. There's also an opportunity back at their table back there after the service. So we're just so thankful for them being here this morning. My name is Tori Craftson, and I am a retired elder board chairman here at Stillwater Evangelical Free Church. By training, I'm a civil engineer. Back in 2002, I had just gotten my professional engineer's license, and I designed my first street reconstruction project. It was about a one-mile-long project, and I was working for an engineering firm doing consulting engineering for one of the cities in the Twin Cities metro area. As we got started on the project, the city's inspector questioned several aspects of our design and called for a meeting on the site with himself, the city engineer, the contractor who was working on the project, and me. And as I mentioned, this was my first project. I was sweating bullets going into that meeting. My reputation, my company's reputation, and the success of this project were all on the line. I prayed intensely going into that meeting. We were at one of the locations that the inspector was concerned about, and the inspector shared why he didn't feel the design was going to work. I didn't know how to respond to his concern, and I kept praying that God would help me. To my relief, the city engineer spoke up and defended our design. I didn't even need to say a word. It was an amazing answer to my prayers. His backing changed the whole tone of that project. There were still some challenges, but we were able to work through them and keep the project on track. I believe that God intervened as a direct answer to my prayers. That answered prayer gave me confidence that God cares for me and he has the power to intervene for me. I can think of a number of other circumstances that God has answered prayers in memorable ways. I stepped off the elder board this past summer, but during my time on the elder board, Pastor Nick would pose this question to us from time to time. He would say, "On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life?" I'd like to turn that question to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your prayer life? You don't have to share that number with anyone, but I'd like you to come up with a number in your head. Now I'd like to ask you a follow-up question. Are you satisfied with that number? The number that I would share with the elders when Nick would ask us that question was something like a 3 or a 4. I answered that way because I did some praying, but I knew I fell way short. I was convicted that my prayer life was not what I wanted it to be. Several years ago, I made a New Year's resolution to have at least 2 30-minute prayer times each week. I did a mediocre job at following through on it. Some weeks, I would have 2 extended prayer times. Some weeks, I would have 1. But there were certainly weeks when I wouldn't have any extended prayer times. Sometimes someone would come to me with a concern in their life, and I wanted to tell them I would pray for them, but I knew my prayer life wasn't consistent enough to make a promise that I would pray for them. I realized that if I claimed to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, I had to accept God's invitation to communicate with him in prayer in a more meaningful way. There are a lot of passages about prayer in the Bible, and we're going to read through some of them this morning. Please join with me as I read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. I believe it's going to be on the screen behind me, and I believe a few of these are in your bulletin as well. We're going to go pretty quickly through these, so if you're going to turn to them, you're going to have to turn quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." These verses are very simple. How often should we rejoice? Always. How often should we pray? continually. When should we give thanks? In all circumstances. Why should we do it? Because it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Maybe there's some complexity in the original Greek text, but for me, not knowing Greek, the NIV translation in English is quite simple. But the application is a bit more challenging. How do we rejoice always and pray continually? How are we supposed to have jobs and school and families and other commitments if we're supposed to pray continually? I think this passage sets the bar so high that we will always know that we have room to improve in our commitment to prayer. It's like telling a high jumper that they will be a great high jumper if they can jump over a 10-foot tall bar. Never mind that the current high jump record of 8 feet and 1/4 inch has stood for 32 years. If the standard for high jumping greatness is set at 10 feet, then all of the world's high jumpers are just mediocre. God gave us a standard like that for prayer. We are all at different levels of mediocre, but we should aspire for much more. There are no awards or medals for achieving great levels of prayer, but prayer will enhance our lives, draw us closer to God, and pay dividends both in the short term and continuing into eternity. I would like to spend the remainder of our time getting practical about how we can grow our prayer lives. God loves to give good gifts to his children. He is pleased to grant the requests we bring to him in prayer. But before we can begin the journey to an effective prayer life, we need to become a child of God. To become a child of God, we need to ask Jesus to forgive our sins and fill us with his Holy Spirit. This has to be the starting point of our prayer life. If you have not become a child of God, consider his call on your life right now. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." We need to believe that Jesus' claim when he says in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We need to acknowledge that we have sinned, rebelled, and fallen short of God's design for our life. We need to recognize that Jesus offered his life on the cross out of love for us, to offer us redemption and a new start. Jesus died and rose again 3 days later to demonstrate his power to overcome sin and death. If we want to become a child of God, we need to make it personal and ask God to forgive our sins and to give us a new start. If there is anyone that has not prayed to accept Jesus Christ into their life and is interested in having peace with God and victory from sin, I encourage you to join me in a prayer of salvation right now. I ask everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes, and join with me in a prayer of repentance. Dear God, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life and to die an agonizing death on the cross for me. I acknowledge that I have broken your law and I have rebelled against you. I have tried to run my life without you, and I have made a mess of it. I ask you to forgive my sins. I pray that you would wash me and make me clean. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into my life to empower me to walk with you. I pray that you would take control of my life. I pray that you would lead me in the peace, hope, and victory that are found only in you. Thank you for making me a new creation and granting me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning, you have new life in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. Like the thief on the cross, you have crossed over from death to life. Please let me or one of our elders know if you prayed that prayer today. That prayer of repentance is the necessary starting point of our prayer life. It is the beginning of an ever-deepening walk with God. When the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, he gives them a model which we often hear referred to as the Lord's Prayer. You can find it in Matthew 6 and also in Luke 11. We're going to read it from Matthew 6, 9 through 13. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In this prayer, we see worship, we see confession, and we see praying for our needs. Other passages, like the one we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, tell us that thanksgiving should also be a part of our prayer life. Many of us are familiar with the ACTS acronym for prayer. The ACTS acronym stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We're going to break those down a little bit further. When we think about adoration, we start our prayers by worshiping God and being reminded of his attributes. Sometimes we like to focus on God's love and his kindness and his power, but we should not forget about his attributes like holiness and justice. Starting our prayers off with worship helps us set our focus on the character and the qualities of God. Then we can move into confession. We should confess sins that God brings to our minds. Sometimes this might involve follow-up and asking forgiveness of a person we have wronged. Some patterns of sin are hard to break, and we may be asking God to forgive certain sins for a period of time. The prophet Isaiah was confronted with God's glory. Isaiah 6:5 records his words. Woe to me, I am ruined. I cried, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. If we saw the glory of God as Isaiah did, we would all have a similar response. As we worship God and reflect on our lives, we will be convicted about our sin and how far we fall short. God promises to forgive our sins as we bring them to him. We don't need to go to a priest. We don't need indulgences. We don't need to beg. God forgives us willingly by the power of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Our prayers should encompass thanksgiving. Offering thanks to God sets a tone for our lives and helps us combat against coveting and discontentment. We can be thankful for God's word, for our families, for the cars that we drove here in, for our houses, for our health, for our jobs, for God's beautiful creation, and so much more. Sometimes we become so focused on our problems that we forget to be thankful. Our prayers move into supplication, and this is often kind of what we think about as our prayer, but like I said, there's these other components that we should not forget. There are many things we can pray for, and I'm going to read a couple of passages that talk about things that should be a part of our prayer life. First, Ephesians 6, 18 through 20 says this, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." We are invited to bring all kinds of prayers and requests to God. We are encouraged to pray that God will open the hearts and minds of those in our lives who don't know God, and pray that we will have opportunities and boldness to share the gospel. We can pray for ourselves, for our families, and for the concerns of others. There's a similar passage in James 5:13 to 18 that says this, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Similarly, in Mark 11:23-24, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. God invites us to bring our concerns and desires to him. He has the power to answer any of our prayers. He doesn't always answer the way that we want. His ways are higher than our ways. In Luke 11, Jesus gives a parable about a man asking for food from a friend in the middle of the night. I'm not going to take the time to read that one. There's a similar passage a few chapters later in Luke 18 when Jesus shares a parable about a widow pleading for mercy from a judge. In both of those parables, God is calling us to be persistent and bold in our prayer. God asks us to pray for our leaders, both inside and outside the church. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We should pray for our national, state, and local leaders. We should pray for our pastors and our elders. Our life groups here at Stillwater Evangelical Free Church are a great place to find encouragement to grow in our prayer lives. We have the opportunity to share prayer requests with each other and lift each other up in prayer. We can help each other grow deeper in our prayer lives. Revelations 8:4 says, the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. We're told there that our prayers go directly to heaven, and they are an aroma pleasing to God. Nick spoke last week about prayers of lament. When we are facing difficult times in life, the Bible gives us a model of how we can pray in a way that is honest and glorifying to God. If you missed Nick's sermon last week from Psalm 13, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the message. Some of us may have a sense that our prayers need to sound spiritual and use the right words. In the verses leading up to the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us that our prayers should come from our heart and be directed to him. Matthew 6:5-8 say this, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I find it helpful to write down an outline for my prayers that cover the components of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. This helps me keep my prayers directed and balanced. We can certainly have prayers that have only one of the components of prayer, and it is appropriate for us to pray for longer periods of time and also throughout the day with shorter prayers and shorter periods of time. Growing in prayer requires commitment, much like any relationship. The intimacy and effectiveness of our prayer life is correlated to the time and the energy that we invest. About a year ago, I was convicted to spend more time in prayer. I determined that the best time for me to have focused prayer time was early in the morning. I decided to set an alarm to go to bed half an hour earlier and another alarm to get up half an hour earlier. I like my sleep. I have built this habit this past year, and it is one I intend to keep. I feel that waking up early to pray is the most important spiritual commitment that I've made in a long time. I invite you to ask me if I am keeping up with my commitment moving forward. We should encourage each other to give prayer the priority that God desires it to have in our lives. As an empty nester, it's easy for me to carve out time for prayer, or easier, I should say. I know that it's more difficult for some of you raising children in your home. However, I encourage all of us who follow Christ to pause and consider the priority that we give to prayer. Just between you and God, consider if there are any steps you'd like to take to improve your prayer life. Is God placing a commitment on your heart? I'd encourage you to write it down. I'd also encourage you to share it with a friend, a spouse, an elder, or someone in your life group. Invite them to keep you accountable. I'm going to close this with a word of prayer, and I'd invite you to bow and join with me in this closing prayer. Dear Lord, you are a powerful, a just, a loving, and a holy God. You are the giver and the sustainer of life. We confess that too often we think we can do life on our own, following our own priorities, by our own means. We confess that we have not sought the glory of your name. We have not taken advantage of opportunities to share your gospel with those around us who need to hear it. You are so good to us. You have blessed us with a church, with families, with homes and vehicles and a beautiful creation, with strong health, with jobs, with religious freedom, with food and clothing. We acknowledge that all of this is a gift from you. We pray that you would use us to serve you. We pray that we would use our words and actions to be a light for you in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our families, and in our workplaces. We pray that you would give us open doors and willing hearts to share the gospel and further your kingdom. We pray that you would strengthen our marriages and our families. We pray that you would heal those among us who are struggling with physical or mental illness. We pray that you would supply our daily needs. We pray for our pastors, Nick and Eric, and for our elders, Tim, Zach, Lee, Ken, and Jeff. We pray that you would protect them, guide them, and encourage them in their walk with you. We pray for our president, our legislators, our governor, our mayors, and our councils. We pray that you would guide them to make wise decisions. We thank you for the work of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, and we thank you for the blessing of them being here this morning and hearing from them. We pray that you would bless and encourage their ministry. We pray that you would work in mighty ways in the lives of all those who came to join us this morning. We pray that you would grow our prayer lives. We pray that we would grow in the intimacy, knowledge, and experience of you. We thank you for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. We pray for your protection, your blessing, and for the power of your Holy Spirit as we leave here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, when Pastor Nick gave us a message about lament, he invited people to come up front for prayer. And we're going to do that again this morning. I've talked to our elders. And if you have anything that you would like prayer for, please feel free to come up and pray with me and any of the elders of the church that are going to be up here. And I'm going to close us with a benediction. And we're going to close with Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.